Well, we are in February 2026, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. This is Desert Oracle Radio Replay on KGVM, Bozeman Community Radio, 95.9 FM, and streaming at kgvm.org. I'm Roxana, your host, and this week, I'm probably traveling when you hear this, so I have some February episodes for you from years gone by. Does that make them classic? Am I classic? Are you? Anyway, today's first Desert Oracle Radio episode was released by Ken Lane February 23rd, 2018. Here is Windblown Trash and Beautiful Billboards.
Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California, now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Well, night has fallen on the Mojave and the wind is howling. The wind howls. I can hear it rattling the windows here. Sometimes the whole building shakes. It's not much of a building, though. It shakes when a semi-truck rumbles down the highway. It shakes when somebody goes by on a bicycle at a pretty good clip. We've got winter weather. We rarely get it, but it's so beautiful when we do. The whole high desert scrubbed clean by 40-mile-an-hour winds. I guess all the Kleenex and the little drug baggies and the toilet paper and the hamburger wrappers wind up out on the edge of Phoenix somewhere. Maybe out by Goodyear. It's hard to say. And you can try all you like to pick up your garbage and not leave a lot of rubbish wherever you go. A lot of cigarette butts and giant styrofoam soda cups and scumbags and whatever. But when the wind is like this, even taking out the garbage is a struggle. The trash company doesn't care, of course, if all the trash buckets fall over and the filth tumbles out and every yucca and cholla is decorated in the ugliest possible way, like a Christmas tree in hell. You'd think a trash company in the high desert, where crazy wind is a regular feature of life, especially and in particular on trash day, well, you think they might put some kind of weight at the bottom of those wheeled plastic garbage holders, whatever they're called. You think they might invest a little of their profits into actually collecting a little more of the garbage, instead of sharing it with the whole wild desert. Well, you would be wrong if you thought that. Some weeks I don't even pick up the trash. But good Lord, they sure cash the checks. That does not present the same level of challenge for them at the garbage company. My friend John says he watches the same truck that picks up the trash turn around at the end of the dirt road and make a second trip to pick up the recycling, dumped in the same truck with the garbage. Well, China stopped buying American trash, or American recycling. Apparently a major U.S. export to China. On those container ships, and otherwise go back empty across the Pacific. China stopped buying American recyclables because our recycling is too filthy. Mixed up with full diapers and dead house pets and sometimes even poor old Uncle Al and Uncle Lou, thrown in an open dumpster on the side of a dirt road, left to the ravens, who have better taste, and the vultures, who prefer eating off the ground like at a picnic. And finally, if the trash truck and or the recycling truck ever comes, well, somebody at the workyard in some industrial area south of Shanghai would have to separate all that muck from the bits of electronics and glass and cardboard. And finally, China said, "We have had enough of your garbage. It's too dirty." Imagine being so bad at everything that nobody even wants your recycling. It's enough to make you question the whole system. It's enough to make you look for a limestone cave somewhere, or maybe run to an embassy somewhere. they would take you. Luckily, lucky for us and lucky for the animals and the plants that tolerate us, as long as we don't kill them all, we have the great Mojave Wilderness, we have the Great Basin and all the other great American deserts, the Sonoran and the Colorado and the Chihuahuan. We have managed to protect and save so many of these wonderful places, and we will need them more than ever in the coming years. As the critters need more room to roam, wider ranges to graze and hunt, as all of the West becomes more like the Western Desert. Oh, it's a good time to love the desert. A good time to find it beautiful. Because there's going to be a lot more of it in our time, in your time. As they say on the cable news, happening now. If you've been driving around the high desert over the past 90 days, congratulations. It's an awfully pretty time to get to cruise around the desert. And if you've been driving Highway 62 or maybe out in the western Mojave around Victorville, maybe you took 247 over there, well, you've surely noticed those striking and beautiful billboards promoting our new California Desert National Monuments. The sublime Castle Mountains, tucked into the northeastern corner of Mojave National Preserve near the Nevada line. The stunning and nearly overwhelming Mojave Trails National Monument along Old Route 66, the Mother Road. And the perfectly named Sand to Snow National Monument, which rises up from the creosote flats of the transition zone all the way up to the top of mighty San Gorgonio, the highest peak in Southern California. The second tallest mountain in this very mountainous state. And the seventh highest peak in the contiguous 48 states. When you go from Los Angeles to Palm Springs, you go right by it. In fact, you go through Gorgonio Pass, beautiful places, preserved forever by Teddy Roosevelt's Antiquities Act. Theodore Roosevelt said this about protecting our natural wonders: leave it as it is. You cannot improve on it. The ages have been at work on it, and man can only mar it. He said this about the Grand Canyon in particular, the American desert. May we have the wisdom, or at least the basic common sense, to keep up that good work. The next time you hear some criminal briefly in charge of the Interior Department braying like a donkey about being a Teddy Roosevelt conservationist, remember to laugh at him. Especially if he's being led away from the courthouse in an orange jumpsuit. Anyway, we were talking about the monuments, our new desert national monuments, that joined together the National Forest Wilderness and the Transverse Ranges with Joshua Tree National Park and Big Morongo Canyon and the Mojave Preserve and clear up to the tip of Death Valley. And we are talking about threats to these protected American treasures. Threats from within, because a devil has snuck into our home. A devil has taken up residence. Our home, our western lands, must be cleansed of devils. Now let's get back to the billboards. Yes, some billboards are good every now and again, and that brings us to our friends at the 29 Palms Inn and the Campbell House, the good people behind this campaign to let all of us know, residents, visitors, even the occasional devil going by in a chartered jet from an oil drilling company. Now, these desert national monuments aren't just beautiful. They aren't just home to mountain lions and desert bighorn sheep. oh so dearly need, that room to roam. But they also provide good and interesting and morally correct jobs for the people out here. The people who take care of you at the hotels and the motels and the vacation rentals. The rangers who pull the choya out of your foot without mocking you for wearing sandals. The firefighters at the ready. The people making your pizza and your coffee and your tacos and your margaritas. The artists making all that nice stuff you take home to Brooklyn or Berlin or Echo Park. You know, I've been out here a long time and never once have I heard anybody say, I just love to come out to the desert to see the strip mines and the cesspools and the tractome development stretching for as far as I can see. It's inspirational. Nobody's ever said that. Nobody I'd let in my house, anyway. We spoke to Brianne Duzas, who works at the Historic Inn, about getting people to appreciate what's right in front of them.
We moved to the desert in the fall of 2012. We were looking for a break and something different from big city life. We were living in Toronto, Canada. I have to tell you, I got heat rash within the first couple hours of walking around. There was just really something immediate about the beauty of the desert that really captured us. It was mysterious. It just seemed like it was calling us in some way that I think we're still trying to understand. We are here now. We've got two young kids. Being out here now as young parents, we have an entirely new appreciation for this area. To be able to walk out our front door with little kids and have incredible hiking trails around us, to be able to expose them to the wildlife and the native plants. We're so fortunate to be able to do this right now with our kids. Well, I have to tell you, when I hike at the Morongo Preserve with my kids, we're always being followed by scrub jays. Hopeful that we're going to drop some snacks. This campaign to show support for our California Desert National Monument, which we did through a series of regional billboard ads. We had really felt this great uncertainty and concern during the monuments review. This was a campaign that we launched in December to show support for our California Desert National Monument. We did a lot of community outreach and really looked to rally support from the desert community around us here. We designed billboard advertisements with a pretty direct statement that read, "Desert businesses support San Bernardino County's National Monument." We were really looking to demonstrate the tremendous support that there is for these national monuments from the business community specifically, and you know, are happy to say that in the last 3 months, hundreds of thousands of people traveling throughout the county have seen the message, including decision makers like our San Bernardino County Board of Supervisors. Combined, these three new monuments preserve nearly 2 million acres of some of the most beautiful landscapes in the world and serve as this great piece to connect three really diverse and very fragile desert ecosystems together. These monuments are so important for creating vital wildlife corridors between Joshua Tree National Park and the Mojave National Preserve. They protect incredible Native American cultural site and one of the longest stretches of undeveloped Route 66. People come from all over the world to see the desert wildlife in a natural setting, to see the bobcats and the roadrunners and the array of plants that you're not going to find anywhere else in the world. We need to protect these spaces. The 29 Palms Inn has been in business for 90 years now, established long before Joshua Tree was a monument, let alone a national park with millions of visitors pouring through every year. The California desert is unlike any other place in the world. We hear it from our guests every day. People come out here seeking solitude and to escape from the noise and bright lights of the big city. Fortunately, Mojave Trails, Castle Mountains, and Stand to Snow are exciting extensions of Joshua Tree National Park and the Mojave National Preserve. People have really woken up to this new understanding of how special a place the California desert is. We certainly wanted to make a billboard that was visually pleasing, something nice to look at in contrast to the other billboards you see up along the road. We've got a beautiful bighorn sheep in the foreground. We've got a family looking out to the mountains and the creek. The response to the campaign has been really positive. I think we feel we've accomplished much of what we set out to do. We received a lot of really heartfelt thank you messages from other business owners and local conservation leaders and community members and even past hotel guests. So what we shouldn't forget is that these California desert monuments were nearly 10 years in the making. A really diverse group of organizations had come together and fought for a really long time to see that these designations were made. It isn't just about protecting these lands for the travelers and the visitors who come from all over the world. These new desert monuments are really important to the long-term sustainability of our local tourism economy. Whether you're fortunate enough to live or work here, or you've flown halfway across the world to come visit these deserts, we are all visitors to these lands. It's like a life-changing experience. I mean, you come out here and you're humbled by the expansive landscapes and the raw, undeveloped landscapes. You look around, suddenly realizing how big this world is. The desert is so full of life if you allow yourself the chance to come out here and sit quietly and really observe it. One trip out to the desert and you suddenly feel the draw to come back time and time again, being able to look up at night and actually see the Milky Way. My name is Brianne Duzeff. I live in Morongo Valley and I work as the Director of Marketing for the 29 Palms Inn and Campbell House, two historic desert inns located in the Mojave Desert, California.
Camp Katy Wildlife Area, 2008. Well, the sun-bleached sign said Camp Katy Wildlife Area anyway, and the old compound along the Mojave River looked fairly unwelcoming to the public with its disintegrating old barns and cattle pens. I just drive on in. I figured the place is unstaffed, abandoned, unloved. Like so much out here. No crime to visit a California Department of Fish and Game Reserve, right? The mean-looking guy in the olive-green Quails Unlimited cap and bushy gray beard is riding one of those bulky, bouncy quad contraptions popular with old farmers and not-so-old hunters. Maybe he's got a shotgun, maybe not. I generally figure anybody who looks like they might have a gun should be treated as someone who has a gun. Hello, I say, through the open window, and he yells back, "Where do you think you're going?" I say, "I'm looking for the wildlife viewing place, Camp Katy." "Well, you just drove past a sign saying no entrance." Was that even true? There was no point in arguing. I gesture back to the smiling three-year-old in the kid's seat, who is jabbering something about owls. I'd mention there might be barn owls in the old wooden water tower. The three-year-old cheerfully says, "Hi, are there owls here?" Better than a gun, sometimes. Well, the caretaker's name is Dave, a volunteer from the Quail Conservation Group. He shows us where to park, and then he shows us around. "Sorry," he says, "most people who drive up here are looking to shoot stuff or off-road." The U.S. Army made their outpost here in 1860 on the sandy bank of the sandier Mojave River, and they grandly named it Camp Katy. They made shelters of loose brush or just dug holes to burrow within like rats. At this lonesome spot halfway between the Colorado River and the Pacific, these ragged soldiers were ordered to keep the river trail safe from marauding Paiute and Shoshone, who never much marauded and generally lived a more civilized life than these filthy losers doomed to bake under the desert sun. Crude adobe structures were eventually built, although none of them remain today. The fort was repeatedly abandoned over the next dozen years and finally reactivated for a last stand against the Confederacy, which apparently never noticed. floodwaters melted the whole mud brick complex down the river in 1938. Walking along the dry bed, Dave points out a banged up old boat roasting in the sun. There was real water in this river now and then, not so long ago. The water ran above ground in 1993 and again at Christmas 2003. A desert winter so wet that kayakers rushed to Death Valley to row across lake beds that are usually bone dry. These days, the Oriental Alien Tamarisk, or salt cedar, clogs up the Mojave River. It's a pretty tree, but it doesn't belong here, and it has a terrible appetite for what little water is available. And that's no good for the much prettier native cottonwood and the native desert creatures, who are diminished in the process. The tamarisk must die. Now, here on the Fish and Game Refuge, Dave shows us some new tricks being played on the hardy trees. After a tent is installed around a tamarisk, these Eurasian beetles are set loose upon the tree and they kill it. God knows what happens next. The history of strategic use of alien predators is universally grim on this planet. But maybe the tents work. We stroll through the old barns and crumbling cow gates. These were built with the diminished fortunes of one Alexander Pantages, the vaudeville theater magnate who once ran a string of sparkling venues throughout North America. Pantages, the Greek tycoon, moved from Seattle to Los Angeles and he gave Walt Disney a start in the animated film business. But Pantages had other interests. And as Wall Street collapsed in 1929, he was tried and convicted for the rape of a 17-year-old dancer. The conviction was overturned on appeal, but Pantages was finished in show business. He began breeding racehorses here at Camp Katy, and he died in 1936, 2 years before the savage floods would wash away the old remnants of the army complex. Dave invites us inside the little house where the caretakers reside. There are racks of desert bighorns and other curiosities. In the kitchen, he offers milk to the kid, root beer to me. We sit at the creaky table and he opens a bound volume of drawings and handwritten poems and begins to read. Cowboy poems. Who does this? Who does this out here in this artless desert? Dave Smith of Hesperia. That's who does it. Well, before we go, I've bought one of his poetry CDs, all proceeds to a cystic fibrosis charity, and vowed to join Quails Unlimited, which I may have done for a year or two. Gotta send checks to a lot of the groups out there. Got to pay the tithe, as Edward Abbey said. I left the perfect silence of that Mojave River refuge and headed back up Harvard Road. Now, if you want to visit, I'd suggest you call somebody first. Somebody who might know whether or not you're allowed public access to these 1,900 acres of public land on the Mojave River right now. I'll give you two phone numbers. 760-257-0900, that's the landline. Or call the Bishop office at 760-872-1171. Or just look up Camp Katy, that's C-A-D-Y. Now, to get there, don't pay too much attention to the directions your phone or your car provides. Instead, just go east from Barstow on I-15 to Harvard Road, south to Mojave Trail Road, that's a dirt road, and east to the old barns and little house serving as the headquarters. Last I checked, there were indeed barn owls in the barns. But please do note that there are hunters in quail season, whenever that is, and enjoy this less than welcoming welcome statement on Camp Katy's website. For information on public use regulations for this area and other department lands, please refer to the CDFW Public Lands Regulations booklet. Scroll to the table of contents. Locate the page number for general regulations for public uses on all department lands. For additional regulations that apply only to certain properties, check the table of contents for sections that refer to additional or property-specific regulations for wildlife areas or ecological reserves. All visitors are responsible for knowing and following the general and property-specific regulations. Now, Camp Katy was the main base, such as it was, on a long, desolate stretch of what was called the Old Government Road, the Mojave Road. Why it went from the Colorado River all the way to the San Bernardino Mountains. You can travel a good long section of that dirt road today, the old Mojave Road, through Mojave National Preserve. It looks pretty much like it did 150 years ago. Friends, I know that on March 1st, many of you will be attending the public meeting regarding the current federal government's craven attacks on our desert national parks and national monuments and millions of acres of protected desert wildlands and wilderness, the places where we camp and roam and enjoy. And it's so good to have people who care about the deserts, the full-timers and the weekenders and the once-every-Thanksgivingers and the ones who got hooked out there in the rocks and the sun and the sand and the clean blue skies and said, "This place I will love forever. It's for me." Rattlesnakes and cholla and kissing bugs and all. Well, on that same night, and I don't want to make you feel bad about not coming, you know, but Desert Oracle has its last campfire stories of the season at the Ace Hotel in Palm Springs, March 1st, Thursday night. We start at 7 p.m. at the fire ring. I have the feeling this will be a weird one, a strange charge to the proceedings. And it's just plain romantic to sit around a campfire while some dubious character tells you terrible stories about scorpions and centipedes and Charles Manson and other monsters. I appreciate all of you who have made the trip to our campfire ring from all over the USA, from Canada, Mexico, from all over the world. Even Australia, of all places, and I thought they had desert enough of their own over there. If you want to make a night of it, call the Ace and say, "I'm coming for campfire stories." The code word is Desert Oracle, all one word like some spy deal. And you'll get a nice discount on your room. March 17, Saturday evening up in Joshua Tree, Desert Oracle will be part of Curate Joshua Tree's art event at Outpost Projects, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. We're doing the program from a vintage yellow trailer right there on the property, a mobile radio broadcast studio. Our friend Red Blue Black Silver, who often creates the soundscapes you hear on this program, well, he's going to be there as well with his analog synthesizers and other such wizardry. And we're going to legally broadcast the show with a low-power transmitter so you can sit in your car parked in the dirt there and hear it on the FM dial if you're feeling shy about being around so many artists. Or if you want to make out with somebody like you're at the Monster Movie Drive-In, which you are in a way. From Amboy to Zizek's and across the great Mojave Wilderness, this is Desert Oracle Radio broadcasting from KCDZ 107.7 FM in Joshua Tree. Friday nights at 10 p.m. Thanks for listening, and good night from the voice of the desert.
The furnace is running, and it's the bottom of the hour, and you are listening to Desert Oracle Radio Replay, broadcasting on KGBM 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio, and streaming at kgbm.org. Next up, from February 27th, 2020, we have the one Ken calls, "Please Don't Cough on the Spaceship."
Check.
Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California. Now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert. Out here in the American desert. In the American night. Where we are under quarantine. Voluntary, of course. Just for these past couple of decades now. All a volunteer effort. It does seem like a good time to hunker down. The problem, oftentimes, is that you generally don't get to choose where you're going to hunker down. You might be looking at those property listings on the internet again. You know the ones. The ones with the cabins and the acreage with cactus. Expansive mountain views. Also a pretty good view of that neighbor a couple of parcels over. What a strange place to put an auto dump. Guess if you ever need a muffler or something. If you get to him before his 300-pound pit bulls get to you. Boy, what's he got? 7 of those things? Yeah, expect to see him at night pulling some chariot with the devil in it. Very large dogs. Besides, the guy's only got about 3 kinds of vehicles from the looks of it. A lot of wrecked and abandoned Baja bugs. Way too many of those creepy white vans in various stages of decay and disrepair. And a lot of smashed up Honda Accords. But if you look the other way, if you look the other way and if you put in some strategic desert fencing, like they do a lot of these Airbnbs everywhere, what they do is they tack up a bunch of that wavy sheet metal, and then they've got a nice fence, like people used to do up here a lot in about 2005. That's not modern anymore. It wasn't really modern to start with. Anyway, there you are in your apartment complex in the big city somewhere, just having some herbal tea or whatever. And looking at these property listings out in the desert. And all of a sudden the police vans and the ambulances roll in, the sirens wailing. Enormous blinding LED lights flashing everywhere. And they're talking through loudspeakers, but of course it's just echoing around all the buildings and the overpass and the cars parked everywhere, so it's just ringing and ricocheting all around in your head. Due to the pandemic and resulting social unrest, all individuals must shelter in place until further notice. Violators will be tackled by these death robots that our department acquired with a recent military weapons grant from the Pentagon. No walking of dogs. All dogs must be loaded into your building's elevators at 5:14 a.m. and again at 11:42 p.m. for mass dog walking by CBP officers. And then what do you do? Well, you do what everybody does on all those cruise ships under quarantine. Nothing. Nobody's going to do anything heroic. Like lower a lifeboat in the night and try to escape. They just watch movies on demand and they hope that they don't get sick. This is why I don't want to go to the Mars colonies. I don't want to ride those big dumb spaceships to the colonies with all those people packed in. A couple of months up there in that tube, just zooming through space. And somebody gets sick, somebody gets the croup, you know, then what? All it takes is hearing somebody clear their throat and your skin crawls. There's been somebody clearing their throat a bit too much, three bunks over. Not far enough away for comfort. At first, maybe you can change your sleep patterns. Go see the nurse console and tell it you've got this sleep issue, a medical condition, really, because you're on a different clock. You used to be a night watchman down at the subsurface Walmart. Years of that just ruins a person's natural sleep rhythms. So fine, they buy it. And for a week or so, you have this line of bunks to yourself. And then when most of them are asleep, you've got the multi-purpose module mostly to yourself. Watch what you want on the big screen. Look out the 3-inch round windows. Boy, the windows seemed a lot bigger in the brochure. Maybe read a Stephen King paperback. Or read the Bible. No line at the bar. And they've got that Whoopi Goldberg hologram there. It'll tell you some jokes if you want, if you're in the mood. Plus, you never get a hangover with synthenol. You don't even get drunk, really. You just get that perfect two-drink high that Martha Gellhorn wrote about so eloquently. In a letter from Spain. I am quite drunk on 2 beers with dinner. Can you beat it? So it's not that bad, it's not all that bad on the spaceship. Not all that different from your old life in the apartment complex. It's just as somebody finally started coughing. And you could not help but notice it was exactly day 27 of the flight. And last you heard, that's how long the infected could be carrying it without knowing, without symptoms. They could have had a blood test on liftoff morning and still could have picked it up before they went in the clean room, before you suited up. And that's really one of the uneasy things to think about on this long flight on this 27th day. You get tested before you get on the rocket, and you get tested before you get off the rocket. Because one thing they're sure about is it can't hide for 3 months. 27 days is the known maximum, although, of course, it was 14 days before that. If anybody has it, anybody on the whole ship, well, that's one of those things you knew when you got on. Nobody gets off. to prevent any possible infection of the colonies of the planetary surface, the ship will burn itself up in the atmosphere. There aren't any pilots. It's a program. It's a one-way trip either way. It's just that in one version, it tries to land.
A dry, sun-baked plain lying at the foot of towering mountains. Geologists tell us that millions of years ago it was the bottom of an ancient sea. Yet today, it's a waterless wasteland across which a modern highway threads its way from the lush coastal valleys of California to an equally lush oasis in this barrenness. Palm Springs, California, where Blessing and I spent our Christmas holidays. A modern little winter resort city that came to be known as the Playground of the Stars. Several trailer parks have been built recently. One owned by Bing Crosby, and luxurious homes on wheels are a common sight in Palm Springs today. And then as we passed one home, we spotted a familiar face. Hoagie Carmichael, off to the golf course with his son and a neighbor lad. Nearly every denomination and faith has its church, although the permanent population of Palm Springs is only about 10,000. And a modern school system serves 2,500 children from kindergarten through high school. And the newly built baseball park is used by a major team for spring training. Far from being stark and forbidding, today the desert offers breathtaking scenery, beauty which every tourist tries to capture in his camera, just as we did, before we turned back to the inn to rest for a famous breakfast ride next morning. Swimming pools are everywhere. Probably one out of every three homes has its own private pool, and the tiled patio beside the pool becomes the family living room. When you look down on the village from the air, the shining blue pools seem to be everywhere. And well, they should. There are almost 1,000 of them here, both private and public. More pools for the number of residents than anywhere else in the world. And all of the scenery in Palm Springs is not like Gummo, one of the famous four Marx brothers. Yes, playing Thunderbird was a pleasure. But I was certainly no match for Phil Harris or for Ralph Kiner and his putter. But if I wound up with a poor score, I also wound up looking forward to a charcoal broiled dinner at one of the many top-notch restaurant nightclubs in Palm Springs. It's difficult to choose a place for dinner. They're all so exceptional, and several of them have shows featuring top-ranking stars. But when we spotted Louis Armstrong's name on the Chi-Chi marquee, that was it. Old Satchmo has become a living legend. A poor lad from the other side of the tracks in New Orleans, Louis Armstrong is the most respected performer in the jazz world today. Every member of his troupe is a top artist, like Thelma Middleton, his song stylist. Yes, Louis Armstrong and his company are star performers. Yet here they were in this tiny desert oasis. Tockwitz Canyon is named for the evil spirit of the Kaweah Indians, the tribe which has lived in this area for centuries. Legend has it that this huge cliff casts a shadow on the desert floor which exactly resembles Tockwitz, the evil spirit. So the canyon got its superstitious name. Though the canyon is wild and rocky and rugged, it is truly beautiful. with a clear mountain stream cascading through the rocks. So changing to warmer clothes, we drove up the mountain for an afternoon in a winter fairyland, just a short distance from the desert as the crow flies, and an hour's drive by car. That is, if you've driven to it from the sunny warmth of the desert and can leave it behind when you wish.
You're listening to Desert Oracle Radio, and this is the part of the program where every now and then we open up the Desert Oracle mailbag. Let's see, this is a local letter. It says, Hi. Will there be a reprint of the previous issues that are sold out? Specifically the ones having to do with aliens and UFOs? And if not, can you tell me which of the next four issues, if any, will have alien UFO stories? We have two space-themed vacation rentals, and these would be great coffee table books. Thanks from Christy. Well, hi, Christy. First, I'd like to offer my professional opinion, which is that two space-themed vacation rentals would actually make terrible coffee table books. I would stick to books. As for what's coming in the next four Desert Oracles, look, this might be Desert Oracle, but we cannot see that far into the future. As for those out-of-print issues, they really are out-of-print and all sold out. It turns out that reprinting these little perfect-bound books costs the same as printing the new ones, as that is expensive, and as we are so very far behind with getting out the new books to our loyal subscribers and less loyal retailers. Circumstances dictate that we can't reprint the back issues, and we probably should not do it anyway. So we are doing what so many literary periodicals have done before. We conned a New York publisher into offering us a book deal, and this fall, Autumn 2020 is what I mean. There's a fancy hardback cloth-bound book coming out called Desert Oracle Volume 1. And it's got pretty much all the UFO and alien and monster stuff from the first 4 years of Desert Oracle. Plus a whole lot of nature stuff. A lot of stuff about weird animals, strange plants, odd history, and a lot of brand new stuff which I wrote over these past couple of months, apparently, because the pages are there. So watch out for that and more news as the world makes it up. P.S. I had to omit the name and location of your vacation rentals, the ones in space, because otherwise, by FCC tradition, the on-air promotion of a product or service or space-based lodging must be met by remuneration to the 11th power, and that's the kind of financial surprise that can really tangle with a person's fragile standing in this world. Pretty much all the vacation rentals have Desert Oracle waiting for their guests, their clientele, and it makes sense, you know? Spend, what, $6 or $7 for something that just instantly says vacation rental and Joshua Tree? Even bad local paintings cost $50 or $60 or $100, and for that you can buy 10 or 20 copies of the Oracle. As your guests are mostly a lot of low-level petty thieves, you're gonna need them, because they steal them. They'll steal anything that's not bolted down to the slab and covered in centipedes. So some people will just write the name of their vacation rental all over the covers with a Sharpie until you can't even tell what it is, you know? Property of Texas, Surf Shack, High Desert, Sweet Spot, or whatever, they all have these names. You have to. You have to name your vacation rental like a child, you know? You gotta name it. They won't let you take the baby home unless you come up with a name. And it's gotta be a name, too. Not a number, turns out. Later, my second cousin takes me aside at a barbecue and says, "It can be a number if you spell it out." Now, some people, or at least this one character I know in Morongo, some people will drill out the top left corner of the book through the binding and through the binding glue and both covers and all the pages. And then there's a kind of rivet that you can put in there. It's like Tandy Leathercraft or something, you know? Something like shoe repair tools. There's an awl. You want to have a good enough toolkit to accomplish this kind of work. Now, I keep a number of things around. It doesn't cost much, and it saves you a lot of hassle if you need something, especially if you're under quarantine. Twine, picture hangers, various connectors. Leftover hardware from putting together things. A Bugzooka. You seen a Bugzooka? Apparently, they're not made anymore. So maybe 6 or 7 years ago, when I was ordering some extra parts for the Bugzooka, the website said they were shutting down production. So I found this online retailer in the Midwest that had some in stock, and I bought 3 entire new Bugzookas plus a lot of spare parts. This was many years ago. People move out to the desert these days, and they say, "Good Lord, what do you do about all these scorpions and other weird things? These godforsaken sun spiders, whatever that is." And I don't know what to tell them now. But the Bugzooka is about a yard long, maybe a meter, and it's got a suction thing at one end, like this bellows, and then the telescoping air tubes, and those end in this clear plastic receptacle. It's a receptacle for the insects, for the spiders, for all of them. And it's got a one-way trap door that opens with the suction and a screen cap to keep the bug in the receptacle. And then you can take it outside across the street to the neighbor's property and let it out over there. Bad thing with the centipedes is sometimes half of them gets caught in the trap door, and then it's like some transporter accident on Star Trek. And the loose half somehow gets back under the rug. Jesus, now what are you gonna do? Just move out. Make it a vacation rental. So once you've made it a vacation rental and you've got your desert oracles to give it an inexpensive, authentic touch, authentic yet design savvy, as we like to say at the office, you can put a rivet and a 1/4-inch plastic sheathed cable through it and then clamp that down once you've closed the loop. And then you can attach that to whatever anchor in the coffee table or on the magazine rack or the bathroom wall. It only takes a couple of hours, and then that issue is not going anywhere.
New sounds tonight by Red, Blue, Black, Silver.
desert mystics who just walked away and somehow made their journey from Rome or Alexandria or Antioch to the wild desert waste beyond the Nile? Well, they would carve out a hole in the limestone, and that would be home for life. So many people were wrecked by the inane hassle of life in the empire that they just got up and left. Up and left and moved into these desert holes in the early centuries of the Christian era. So many that the church had to come up with a system, had to figure out how to control these people, keep them from starting their own religions, keep them in line. There will be no direct communication with the gods. And so monasteries came into being so that the frustration and disgust with human society could be organized, monetized, could be turned into a revenue stream. Monasteries were not holes in the limestone dug out by individuals like those miners' caves in Shoshone. They were corporations, immense estates producing goods and services, and there's nothing wrong with that. Baking bread for the people like they do up at Green Gulch. Taking in the flotsam of our machine grinder society as monasteries of all approaches have done for so long. That's noble work, and it's a noble duty, and it's still good for your soul. Our next live event will be at the Ace Hotel in Palm Springs on March 12th, Thursday at 7 p.m. outside around a real campfire, free to attend. And again on Thursday, April 2nd, and then a few more after that through early June, and then we're done because it's too hot in Palm Springs in the summertime to be outside around a campfire. I've tried it. My head nearly melted off like that Nazi trying to operate the radio inside the Ark of the Covenant. We've got an events calendar on our website, desertoracle.com. We've got a Patreon set up as well, and I do appreciate those of you who contribute to the operation out here. Become a patron of Desert Oracle for a couple of bucks a month, and we'll keep broadcasting, narrowcasting, podcasting, godcasting. We do it all. We do it all on the cheap. From Amboyd to Isaacs and across the great Mojave Wilderness, this has been Desert Oracle Radio. Good night from the Voice of the Desert.
And the furnace is still running. Our background today is Ephemeral from Red, Blue, Black, Silver, Cliff Rose Collection. And as always, I want to thank Ken Lane and Red, Blue, Black, Silver for creating and sharing Desert Oracle Radio with us. KGVM, its staff and volunteers, have my deep thanks to, and we would not be here without you, listener. So thanks to you for listening. This program broadcasts on the air at 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio, or you can stream it online at kgvm.org at 7 Sunday nights and 9 Monday mornings. Our past Desert Oracle Radio replay episodes are archived for you on the kgvm.org website. So watch those skies, keep doing good things, and sweet dreams. Stay warm and well, and I'll see you next week.